Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. The Yankees, they won their series against Toronto. The Mets, they started Chris Flexen. There you go. That's all you need to say. To talk about the state of baseball and All-Stars and all of that, we bring in John Harper, baseball columnist from the New York Daily News. Hey, John, how are you?
Pretty good, Lori. You summed it up pretty succinctly there, the state of New York baseball.
yeah, exactly. So let's start off with, you wrote a column. I know you wrote a column about with your awards, but you also, that was in the Daily News today, your kind of mid-season awards, but you also recently wrote a column about the Mets and their three-headed monster general manager situation, and you talked about the need for creativity. So let's start there. First of all, with the three general managers, do you have a sense of what all three, what each one's roles are right now in terms of decision-making or how they go about it?
I do think it's ideally, I mean, I think they see it as a group decision. And they've kind of worked this way well in the past. It had that feeling, understanding all this from what I've been told. Everybody was made to feel part of the decision-making process, and Alderson was good at listening to other opinions and taking everything in. But at some point, somebody's got to make the call, and I do think that is Rico's. Rico will have the final say on this. But I think he trusts Ricciardi and Omar. He trusts their, he values their opinion a lot. So I think it will go pretty smoothly, but you never know how these things, because, you know, Alderson was the guy ultimately was making the call, and now he's not there.
All right, so if it's John Rico is the one who maybe is making that call on the final pull the trigger, let's say, if there is a trade or something like that. Which of the three, is it Rico or is it Omar Minaya? Which of the three do you think has the most sway with Jeff Wilpon, with Fred Wilpon, with ownership?
Yeah, I think Omar does for sure. I think Omar was brought in, at least I've heard Omar was brought in largely because Fred, who's, you know, he stays in the background publicly, but I think we've all kind of found out in the last several months that he maybe it's still more of a power broker there than I was led to believe. At some point, he had sort of just faded into the background, but he's very, very much involved here. So, and I know Omar's a favorite of his, so I think Omar has a lot of sway there, and which will be interesting because Omar was always the guy, or he came in at the time when they were spending big money before the Madoff stuff, and Omar loved that idea of, you know, he used to love that nickname, the Big Game Hunter. I mean, he came in when he was going after Pedro and Beltran, and he put together that 2006 team largely by spending big money on free agents. So, I could see him pushing for somebody like Manny Machado. Mm-hmm. I'd still be shocked if that happens, but I could see Omar pushing that way, trying to make them understand, hey, if we get this guy, you'll win back the fan base, who obviously is disillusioned right now, and you'll put people back in the seats, and you'll have a chance to win, which... You know, we've all been through this now for a while, talked about it. To me, if they don't trade a Syndergaard, even more so, I would really hate to trade DeGrom, but one of those two guys and get some young talent in here, I don't see how you're going to get better unless you go out and spend on somebody like a Machado.
Yeah, I just said that a few moments ago, that I think you have to... You have a course of action one of two ways. One is you can either trade one of your top starting pitchers and try and get back a ton to reset things. Or if you want to keep DeGrom and Syndergaard, then I think you don't necessarily have to trade for Manny Machado, but I think you have to overbid like crazy everybody on him as a free agent in the offseason.
Yeah, and they've never done that, really, especially since all the Madoff stuff. So, and there are going to be teams, the Phillies, I think, probably first in line, that are going to be willing to spend huge money on a guy like Machado. So that's why I'd still be shocked if the Mets actually got into that bidding.
You mentioned that if it was you and you were making the decisions, you would look into trading Noah Syndergaard. He obviously made a rehab start with Brooklyn today and seemed to feel fine. Obviously a little rusty, makes sense. But will he have enough time before the trade deadline that, God bless you, that you feel like he'd have enough value to trade him this year before the deadline, or are you essentially undervaluing an asset?
I don't think so. I think because for a couple of reasons, I think he's coming back from a finger injury. I talked to some scouts about this. So as long as he can make two or three starts before the deadline and he looks like his old self with the velocity, no issues, it's not like he's coming back from something that would a shoulder or an elbow, which would be, you know, would give teams pause. And then the fact that there are so few, if any, really number one type starters out there that are going to be available, that there could be this, you know, they could be in a class of his own. And really, for a team that sees him as a piece to put him over the top, you could get a huge haul back. I think that's even more so in DeGrom's case, just because I think he's seen as more of a sure thing of a team that knows they're going to the postseason. But in Syndergaard's case, that's where I think, even if they didn't do it in July, I think you could get just as much for him if you did wait till the offseason, because he's got three more years of control. And if you wait till the offseason, that's still that you can bring a huge haul in for 3 years of control. And you could also, at that point, you also bring in teams who aren't necessarily in contention now, but see Syndergaard as a difference maker, and they're close enough to trying to win. So there are some pros and cons to doing it now, now as opposed to the off season. But the reason I would do him, and I know he's younger and he's got more control, but DeGrom to me just looks like he's got that, you know, that clean, loose limb delivery. He's a real athletic guy. I just have a feeling I'd be more comfortable with him pitching well into his mid thirties than I would with Syndergaard.
Talking to John Harper from the Daily News. Given that these are three interim co-GMs from the Mets, is trading a Syndergaard or a DeGrom the kind of decision that you feel like interim GMs get to make, or is it more likely, whether the Mets felt inclined or not, that's the type of decision they're going to want to let the true general manager, when they hire that new person, make, and when that person's in place?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest question of all. And just I probably to go back to your original question, probably should say really the guy who is making the ultimate decision here is Jeff Wilpon, because that's always been the way. Even with Alderson there, you know, they always have to take it to ownership for approval. So in that case, yeah, I think ownership has let it be known that they are going to go outside and interview outside candidates after the season. Whether they actually hire somebody or not remains to be seen. But that, you know, yeah, what are they really thinking here? I mean, if they are really thinking about going outside and bringing in a new GM, I would really be surprised if they would let these guys make a trade like that, which is going to be a huge pivotal point in the franchise's going forward for the next few years. So I don't know, but, you know, their history is that they've been more comfortable staying with the guys that they know, other than Alderson, who they, you know, they really leaned on Bud Selig for that hire. So they, I don't know. I kind of have my doubts that they'll end up hiring outside. I think in some form they might stick with what they have, which makes it more likely that they would give them the power to make a move like this. It just seems like, from everything Rico has said so far, though, when he talks about we'd have to be overwhelmed to trade one of these guys, that makes you think that they really don't want to do it, at least right now.
Now, what about the other two options that could yield potential? You mentioned there are not a lot of number one caliber starters. Really, you know, if the Mets don't trade DeGrom or Syndergaard, there's really not another number one potentially out there. So what about Zach Wheeler, or what about Steven Matz? How valuable would they be compared to some of the other options that are out there on the market for contenders?
Yeah, that's kind of what I wrote about today. And that's what, you know, I mean, Mets people they believe that if Wheeler and Matz continue to pitch well here in the next few weeks, their stock is really rising just for that reason, because they would separate themselves a little bit. You know, I mean, it might get to a point where, you know, a team would look at them as more valuable than a Jay Happ or even a Cole Hamels, because they both have pitched really well lately. But right now, to me, it feels like they wouldn't get a huge return on either one of those guys, and maybe that'll change. And in that case, that's why I wrote about they're talking about trying to be creative and maybe attaching one of these other bad contracts now, these free agent guys that haven't worked out, somebody like a Jay Bruce, ideally, who's got two more years, or even a Swarzak or a Vargas or a Frazier, to a trade with a Wheeler or Mats. And that way you get rid of some money and maybe you add to what you have to spend in free agency. There are a lot of ways to go about this. They're trying to be creative, which has not really been, as I wrote, the hallmark of the Alderson-led front office. So they're trying to really look at every opportunity they can to get the maximum return or value out of a Wheeler or a Mats. I don't think they would trade both, but I do think they're looking at trading one of those guys. And to me, again, I'd go back to the way they're pitching now. I think they give you the belief that they could be the solid guys behind a guy like DeGrom, and that would give me a little bit more incentive even to try and get everything I can right now for Syndergaard.
Yeah. What do you think the fan, knowing the fan base around these parts and knowing what the tabloid headlines usually are, what do you think the reaction would be if the Mets did trade a Wheeler or a Mats and essentially didn't get back great prospects because they were doing it to dump a Jay Bruce, let's call it, contract? What's the reaction from the fan base to that? How do you sell that to the fan base?
That's a problem, no doubt. If you're going to do that, you have to have somebody, and this is what they did a poor job of this last year. If you're going to do that, you have to have somebody out front telling the fans, listen, we're doing this because we are going to spend the money that we're saving now. We are going to spend it in free agency. We're going to go for the absolute best guys on the market. If you do that, then at least you're giving the fans something to hold on to for now. They didn't do that last summer when they got basically nothing in return because they were so determined to dump those contracts, not take any money on. So they didn't let fans know. They did wind up spending some money in free agency more than they indicated early on. But as we know, they still basically went bargain shopping. So that's the problem with free agency, though, is unless you're getting a Machado who's 26 years old or a Bryce Harper who's 26 years old, you're usually getting guys in their 30s. And we're seeing now more than ever in baseball, guys in their 30s just seem to be devalued. And maybe because the sport is trending so young, and younger players are more ready for the major league level than ever. And when you talk to scouts and think people like that, it's because they do much more of this national showcase stuff at a youth level, and they're more prepared to play on a high level when they get to this, you know, 21, 22 years old. You've seen it, the Braves, the Phillies, the Yankees, all these kids coming up and having that kind of impact. The Mets don't have any of those guys. The one guy who they brought up, Rosario, hasn't lived up to the hype.
Yeah, nor has Dominic Smith. You mentioned bringing guys up. With the season, essentially the meaningful baseball, as Fred Wilpon once dubbed it, the meaningful games portion over, why are the Mets not calling up players like Jeff McNeil or Peter Alonso from AAA? Is this all about trying to showcase some of these veterans to enhance trade value?
I think that's partly it. I think there is a case to be made that Alonso and McNeil need a little more time. They both just got to AAA. They were both promoted a couple weeks ago, two or three weeks ago. So I don't think that's a major issue. I think I was screaming for him to bring Rosario up this time last year, and it turns out he wasn't ready. So to some extent, you have to trust their scouts and what they're seeing. But, yeah, once the season's over, as it is already, basically, you got to get these kids up here and take a look at them. I think some of this is maybe out of respect for Cabrera, too, and you have to let him showcase. But you assume he's going to be gone at the deadline, and then you'd have an opening there to bring up McNeil, who's kind of an interesting story. I really didn't know much, hadn't heard much about him. He's been hurt for the last 2 years, and he's kind of come out of nowhere here. He's 26 years old, so he's never been a high prospect guy. Alonso's a different story. He's got power. You heard a lot about him. He's considered really on these prospect lists the number one first baseman in the minors now. So Yeah, you got to see what he's all about. He's all about power. Not a good. He's kind of a big-bodied kid. Not a good defensive player. Supposedly, I haven't seen him, and it doesn't run well. But if he can hit, that's what the Mets need most.
Talking to John Harper from the Daily News, and so you wrote that your awards midseason awards column, and in terms of an MVP. You couldn't give it to Mike Trout, the best player in all of baseball, doesn't warrant an MVP?
I know. This is becoming more an argument all the time, and it's trending toward the analytics, sabermetrics, however you want to say it, the war leaders. I have no doubt Trout's the best player in baseball, but does that make him the most valuable if the Angels aren't even in their pennant race already? They're out there. They're almost completely out of it. That's where I still cling to the notion, I guess it's more of an old-fashioned notion that the MVP should come from a team that plays at least in a race all year, and a team that is in the postseason or at least in a race for a postseason spot. I have a hard time giving it to Trout if they're not going to be in the race. Where a guy like J.D. Martinez, who was my pick for the first half, he's made a huge difference for the Red Sox. That team finished last in the league in home runs last year. They did win the division, but he's totally kind of transformed their offense, along with Mookie Betts. And I just think a guy like that has had huge impact. I'd rather give it to a guy like that than Trout. It's not the most outstanding player. It's the most valuable player.
All right.
I know the argument there. Yes, if you break it down technically or literally, Trout does have more value to his team, but anyway, you heard my argument.
I did. Unfortunately, our time's about up. Otherwise, I was going to ask you. I'm going to talk some more Yankees coming up later, and going to have Kevin Kernan on, and he was in Toronto, and talk some Yankee baseball. But
well, that'll be a happier subject.
It will be. But I thought I would just ask you before I let you go. Home Run Derby, Judge and Stanton, neither one are going to be in it. Right decision?
Well, based on what happened with Judge last year, I don't blame him. And yeah. I think that something with that shoulder, something did happen. He took a million swings that weekend, yep, or those couple days there. So yes, and Stanton, I think out of respect for the Yankees and what Judge is doing, saying no. I think Stanton loves the Home Run Derby. I'm a little surprised he's not doing it.
Judge, we've known all along. I was a little surprised with Stanton. All right, John, really appreciate the time, and catch up with you down the road.
Okay, thanks, Lord.